Hi, everybody. This is Matt Taylor, podcaster at thepopbreak.com. You're listening to you're not listening to And the Winner Still Is. You're listening to the Too Early Oscar podcast, but we are running late and scheduling a bunch of things and recording live together. I'm joined literally right next to me by the film editor of thepopbreak.com, Marissa Carpico. Say hi, Marissa.
Hello.
And we are here doing our category breakdown episodes. Doing it a little differently this year because we are down to the wire. But you know, we're breaking down each category, and this is our look at the acting awards. All four, you know, lead, supporting, girlies, boys, we're doing them all. Which one should we start with today?
Do you want to do supporting and then up?
Yes, let's start with supporting act. We'll get the boring one out of the way. Mm-hmm. You know, actually, this year's kind of a serve.
Yeah. I would say the weaker categories are the girls this year.
A shame.
Yeah.
A shame. But the nominees for supporting actor are Sterling K. Brown for American Fiction, mm-hmm. Robert De Niro for Killers of the Flower Moon, Robert Downey Jr. for Oppenheimer, mm-hmm. Ryan Gosling for Barbie, and Mark Ruffalo for Poor Things. We're going to talk about who we think will win and who we think should win of these five. Marissa, who do you think here?
Well, we are recording this mere minutes after the SAG Awards, and it seems like inevitable that Robert Downey Jr. is going to win this thing. I mean, the narrative's there. The history is there. I wish he were a little more charismatic and fun in his speeches, don't you say?
Yeah.
But otherwise, I think maybe he's just saving it for the big show, you know, because sometimes you burn through your best stuff before you get there.
Yeah, I think,
He's enough of a Nepo baby to not do that.
Yeah, he knows. He's like, I have to put on a show.
Yeah.
And it's the sort of thing, like, I will say, of these five, he would not be my pick. I would probably go with Mark Ruffalo of these five.
Oh, right.
Because
I
do love him in Poor Things. But I do kind of love that Downey Jr. is going to win it because, like, it's such a good career narrative. It's just like, you know, he does the Iron Man stuff for 10 years, whatever you want to call it. And he's finally doing something different and turns out, reminds us how good of an actor he is genuinely.
Yeah.
And it's not a performance that is, you know, channeling Iron Man. He's doing something different. So I do kind of love it. I hope this leads to many other interesting career choices for him. And, I am very, very curious to see what his next few years look like. And I hope he gives a good speech. I hope he's practicing.
Yeah. I hope he's going to step it up.
Yes.
I will say, I think, I would have picked Ruffalo as well, actually, now that you say it.
Mm.
And then I think we'll probably have a similar one for who should have been nominated as,
our boy
Charles Melton for May, December. I mean, 6 months ago, I was like, obviously he'll win, right? And then, like, he's not even in the conversation. It's just so bizarre. I mean, again, we talk about this all the time. They don't like young men for these things, the whatever the equivalent of a boy ingenue is. They just aren't into it. It's not the Oscars thing. But it's like so obviously the best supporting performance of the year that it's just like it's just noticeable that it's not in there. You know, in 20 years or whatever, when the future version of And the Winner Still Is going on, they're going to be like, what the hell?
It's kind of crazy how ignored he is this season. And I mean, the movie as a whole really got disrespected
deeply
by the Academy this year.
Yeah.
And he's so good, and mm-hmm. it's such a mm-hmm. like I didn't even see the season of Riverdale he was in.
In like every season, actually. Well, except for the first one he was
right.
He was a replacement. Yeah.
Yeah, and I did not I only watched the first season of Riverdale.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, so I did not ever even get to see him.
Wow.
I think the first thing I saw him in was that YA romance he did with
great book
with the girl from Blackish,
Everything something or what is it called?
I don't remember.
It's great. The Sun Is Also a Star. I'm sorry.
Yeah. And that was my first, and I remember finding him very charming in that, but
it's a bad movie, but he's wonderful in it.
Yeah, it was a bad movie. He is fun.
It's a film fully shot in scope, but it's all close-ups. I don't understand the point of that.
Lots of weird choices in that one, but yeah, he blew me away here. I was like, I didn't know he was capable of it. And he's, you know, sharing the screen with Natalie and Julianne,
mm-hmm.
doing, like, god-tier work, basically, in their career. And, you know, he still manages to hold his own and have these really incredible scenes. Yeah, I think it's a shame he didn't get it. Charles, if you're listening, keep your night open for the Matt Taylor Awards. You will be getting an award at the Matt Taylor Awards.
Keep your night open, baby, please. Reach out.
Reach it, slide in. My other two in my personal five that did not make it to the Academy. One is Matt Damon in Oppenheimer. I think it's so good.
Yeah, it's his best work in years.
Yeah, I'm like, this is a great movie star performance of just him like coming in and being like, I'm good. And I'm good. Yeah, and I was like, wow, I can't believe with how much passion there was behind Oppenheimer, another guy couldn't sneak into Best Supporting Actor and get like a two nomination. Matt Damon, obviously, a lot of good performances in that movie in the supporting actor field. Mm-hmm. And I also, a movie that never got anywhere near Academy Awards, partially because they made the very strange choice of cutting it into three episodes and then airing it as a miniseries on AMC as well. But Glenn Howerton in Blackberry, I think, is fantastic. Mm. And I really, as someone who does not watch Always Sunny and did not really know who he was prior to watching that movie, I was like, damn, he's good. I also just really love Blackberry. So
Blackberry's fun.
Yeah.
I didn't like it as much as you did, but it's like solid.
Yeah. It's a good one.
Maybe a couple other ones. Yeah. Any of the boys in Ironclaw, realistically.
Oh, honestly, yes.
Like, yeah. Jeremy Allen White, who's like the hottest thing in the world right now. Not for me personally. I just, you know, the culture I'm acknowledging. Harris Dickinson, who I would do absolutely anything for as well. Yeah, like, and even the other brother. You know what I mean? Like, everyone's really good in that movie.
And yeah, Holt McCallany.
I was going to say, yeah. Really good. So, yeah, like, we're going to keep talking about that. This is not the first and last time you're going to hear about that movie, people.
No.
Yeah, so anybody in Ironclaw?
Honestly, yeah, they're so good.
Yeah.
Does it help that I confuse Harris Dickinson and George McKay constantly?
Okay.
No, did I think it was George McKay in that movie until you just said Harris Dickinson? Ooh. Yep, but, you know, should have been nominated either way.
Okay.
Whatever
boy that was.
Yeah, whatever boy that was, we love it.
You should have been nominated, but sweetie.
Yes. All right, supporting actress. Emily Blunt for Oppenheimer, Danielle Brooks for The Color Purple, America Ferrera for Barbie, Jodie Foster for Naiad, and Divine Joy Randolph for The Holdovers. You know, we were saying in our SAG episode as well, it seems like Divine got it locked up, and I certainly, you know, don't mind at all. Like, what a good narrative. I love when a character actress gets their moment, and just, like, the way she has ascended relatively quickly.
Yeah.
Like, I remember watching High Fidelity, I believe, right at the before COVID happened, and being like, who is this woman? Like, she's fantastic. And then, obviously, she was also in Dolomite Is My Name and a bunch of other TV. Great to see her have this incredible moment, and hopefully, again, translating into cool career moves afterward.
Yeah.
I will say, honestly, I don't hate any of these nominations. I remember when America Ferrera name was announced during the, I was like, okay.
Yeah.
But like, people act as if she personally wrote that Barbie monologue and project a lot of stuff onto her. And listen, she delivers that monologue very, very well. So
yeah, I'm sure it's, I mean, I think there was an interview where she said it was like 3 pages long or something. Yeah. So like, I get it. And she has to deliver it so fast and sort of angrily, but also like tired. It's a tough thing. So I'm not necessarily mad at it, but it does feel like a lot for something that's like, it's misplaced like love on that one. Cause like, it's true. She didn't write it. You know, we just have to acknowledge that. But yeah, like, I don't know. It's not the worst thing that could have ever happened.
And honestly, like, you know, of all the nominations, it's fine. Honestly, though, like, you know, Jodie Foster, I think, is very good in Naiad.
I think she's great in that.
It's, like, shocking how, like, I'm, like, she's, like, having so much fun. She's so fresh. Yeah.
Well, I can't remember where I read it now, but it was basically, like, you know, part of what's so enjoyable about it is that this is our first real role where we get to see her not closeted, playing a queer character.
Yeah.
And it does feel like she is unleashed in a way that we have never been allowed to see before. And it's a real thrill. I mean, I think she's the best thing in that movie, honestly. But, like, I mean, I've said it a million times at this point. But Yeah, I think it's just an incredible performance that I think we just weren't expecting, because she doesn't really act a lot.
Yeah, she is so particular with her performances. And then to have that and True Detective so close together is just a great reminder of, like, ooh, she's good. She's so good.
Yeah.
And your girl Emily is incredible in Oppenheimer.
She has the best hero moment at the very in the last act. I mean, people like applaud at that moment in the theater, and it's a great moment, and you get left with it. And like, listen, I want her to win an Oscar at some point. This is just one step, you know. She's putting herself back in the game here, you know. She's
finally getting nominated, and you know, hopefully we're heading towards an imperial phase, to use the phrase you use a lot.
Yes, please, God. Please let it be the moment for Emily Blunt. I need it. I need it so bad.
She passed off the Quiet Place franchise to Lupita. She's like, I need to do other things, please.
She's like, Lupita can slay this for a while.
Yes. She already has an Oscar.
Yeah. I need mine. Yeah.
Yes. So do you think Divine is getting it as well?
Yeah, Divine, I think, is inevitable at this point. And I don't think that's... I think that's wonderful. In terms of people I wish had been nominated, I really have an affection for Rosamund Pike in Saltburn, which is, like, such a buzzy film that, like, you know, sometimes we see these in our past years where there's, like, something that's a cultural moment and yet has no presence in the awards situation. And her every moment in that is so brilliant and such a, like, biting, mean comedy, like, performance that, like, oh, God, I'm going to think about it for the rest of my life. Honestly, I love that friggin' performance. She's so good.
She is so good. Honestly, Carey Mulligan, also really good in that movie.
Great.
Saltburn, I will say, incredibly stupid movie.
100%.
But the way people act as if it is like...
like it killed their mother.
Yeah, and I'm like, listen, one of my weirder hot takes that I've had is I don't think it's any less dumb than... or any more dumb than Anatomy of a Fall in terms of realism. And not at all. Like, so I'm just like, you know what?
They're both extreme melodramas.
Yeah, we need this. We need more thrillers like this.
Yeah.
If they happen to have, you know, looking come in a bathtub, sure, why not? Like, do I need it? No. But, you know, incredible theater experience of me and the three other people in the theater all gasping at the afternoon matinee when Barry Keoghan did that. And, and yeah, Rosamund Pike is really good.
She's devouring
it. So good in it.
Some of her best work.
Anyone else that you want to highlight?
No, that's kind of the only one, I think. I mean, I'm sure you have a bunch, realistically. Yes.
I mean, we just... I won't dwell because we just talked about the movie before, and we'll talk about it again later. Julianne Moore should be winning for May, December. I have, incredible work from her.
The Lisp.
The Lisp in... the way she weaponizes that lisp is perfect. Yeah.
You know someone who actually I just thought of didn't show up and seemed kind of like she would early on? Rachel McAdams. And Are You There, God, It's Me, Margaret.
She's really good.
It's felt like there was heat at the beginning of the year.
I think if that got released in the fall instead of the spring, we'd be talking a different story.
Very true.
It's like it happened in April, which is like a million years ago.
Nobody saw it.
No. Yeah. It was a huge flop, unfortunately. I really love Claire Foy. from All the Strangers, which is a movie I have mixed feelings on in general.
I agree,
it has a ending.
Another one I didn't give a great review to. I mean, it's not my worst review. I just rottened it.
Yeah, it just, you know, it's a movie that I think is definitely worth seeking out, even though I just think it has strange choices at the end.
Yeah, the last act is rough.
Yes, but Claire Foy is so good in it, and the movie really didn't go anywhere Oscar-wise, and you know, Disney is choosing not even to give it a DVD release. It is not getting a physical media release, which I think is
Fox Searchlight, isn't it?
Which I think is homophobic, but
I'll agree with that. That's a strange insane. Because people really like it. Actually,
it has a huge listen. So many gay people will buy that movie.
Yeah.
But you know, Claire Foy, I think with a proper campaign could have gotten somewhere, and she's great. And another one that never got anywhere close to the Oscars, would never have gotten to, but I just need to shout it out. Patti LuPone and Bo is Afraid.
You are the number one Bo is Afraid defender in this country.
It is wild how much I love
this. How much did Patti pay you?
You know what? Listen, my Venmo is open, Patti, if you want. I'll take out a billboard. But the minute she walked on screen at that last act, I was like, she's getting nominated. She said... Matt Taylor Awards.
As we like to say now, she's running.
Yeah, she's running. It's, you know, she's so, so good. I loved it. I'm like, her even being in that movie is such a weird, fascinating thing. I want to know the story.
She burned her SAG card and said, yeah, why not?
Yeah, she's like, you know, why not? Patty, we love you, girl. All right, back to the boys for a little bit. Let's talk about Best Leading Actor. Mm-hmm. The category that I would say probably is the least tied up at the moment, but still has a frontrunner. The nominees are Bradley Cooper for Maestro.
Maestro.
I had to catch myself and make sure I was going to pronounce it correctly. Coleman Domingo for Rustin. Paul Giamatti for The Holdovers. Cillian Murphy for Oppenheimer. And Jeffrey Wright for American Fiction. What are you thinking about this category, Marissa?
You know, there's still a toss-up. Oh, well, not a toss-up at this point. Cillian Murphy just won the SAG. Usually that's going to be the way it's going. I mean, the campaign is there. Well, he's not even campaigning. He's just sort of like, people like him. He is a solid character actor who's been doing great work for many years. It feels like suddenly it's time kind of thing. And what a nice guy, you know, it's wonderful to see him win basically. Mm-hmm. So he'll probably win. There's still a chance Giamatti could pull it out, but I think people like Oppenheimer enough and like his performance enough, which is, you know, a tough performance to pull off. Let's be honest. So I think that's fine. I'm not mad about that.
Yeah, no, I think it's a very impressive performance. I mean, I'm fairly certain he's in nearly every scene in that movie, if not all of them. You know, it's great work. I agree with you about narrative. It just, like, it really does seem like people are acting as if he's never going to get here again. And, and Paul Giamatti, I think, they think we'll get there again.
Yeah.
So that will help, I believe, with his narrative. And, you know, it's not a bad pick. I would probably go Giamatti over Murphy if I was filling out a ballot, but I don't begrudge either win.
I don't know. I mean, I think it's interesting. I think you could make an argument for any of these, and none of them are necessarily bad performances.
Right.
The movies vary in quality, let's be honest. But yeah, like, I like all of these guys.
Yeah, all of them do good work. Like, you know, if Coleman Domingo won, I would be happy.
What a thrill, because he'd look so good.
He looks so good. I'd be so happy for him. Would I be like, Rustin's bad?
Yeah.
But, you know, but he'll be fine. He's going to, you know, this is a door opening for him.
Well, as you said very rightly after you saw it, it's like, that performance is so good, I wish the movie were a bit stronger.
Oh, yeah. That movie was a snooze. But he is so good in it.
Yeah.
And every time he had, like, an Oscar bait scene, I was like, you know what? He should win.
Like, totally.
Never mind. I'm swayed.
Totally.
But, in terms of other people I would nominate,
it's Zac Efron.
I mean,
from Ironclaw.
Yeah.
It's sickening.
It's sickening.
That he wasn't even in the conversation. People just pretended he didn't give the best performance of the year. It's fucking sick.
He is so good. And it's funny because
it's the best performance of his career to this day.
Absolutely. But it's like,
easily.
It's the sort of thing I never knew he had this in him.
Completely.
Yeah, because I mean, at this point, he's been around for
20 years?
Yeah, nearly 20 years. And I think he is so funny in, like, films like Neighbors and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But whenever he gave dramatic work prior to this, I was like, this is just not
struggle.
His,
yeah.
But here, he was incredible.
He's great.
Yeah, so the way he, like, from his very first scene where he wakes up in bed and you see how big he is.
Yeah.
But, like, the way he carries himself, he's such, like, a fragile little boy. Mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, fuck, he's so good in this movie. And it is kind of crazy the way, despite that movie being a hit at the box office, it just went nowhere.
Yeah.
Like, what, A24, what happened there, girl? Like,
yeah, it's like they released it at the right time and all that stuff, but, like, something, it's just like people, I don't know, like, pretended they didn't see it or something.
It's crazy. He's so good, you know.
Yeah.
And I don't know if he'll ever get, like, an opportunity like this again.
No,
which is
because it feels so tailor-made. Because his physique has always been so much a big part of his acting.
Yeah.
And this is, like, never, he's never been exploited better. What could he play?
He was incredible in it.
A friend of mine has been saying for years that they have to cast him as Errol Flynn in a biopic. And that's the only other thing that could happen.
Yeah, there's one other chance. Someone make it happen.
Yeah.
My other two that I have here that I really do like, who never really got close, but I think I'll give him a shout out. Koji Yakushu from
Perfect Days.
Yes, from Perfect Days.
Yeah,
incredible.
Good
choice.
Yeah,
another movie similar to Killian. I mean, tonally very different, but he's in every scene basically, and has to carry that whole movie. And
often in silence.
Yes, it's. I mean, the whole last 10 minutes is him
being
quiet, and it's incredible. We saw it together, and we were just like, the whole theater was so moved. And Benoit Magimel from Taste of Things, also incredible. Yeah. I mean, outshone by his co-star slash ex-wife, perhaps, but very, very good nonetheless.
I mean, who could be not outshone by Juliette Binoche? Yes. Julie Binoche.
She's, listen, I saw it with my fiancé Ben, who's in the other room and can probably hear this, but he pointed out that in one scene when Juliette Binoche eats an oyster, I was watching the screen like this, like with my head resting in my hands, just totally entranced. And that's a testament to that movie.
The power.
And her power. Yes.
It's so engrossing and sensual.
That great film. Movie. Yeah, great beautiful. Movie. Let's talk about the girlies. Let's go over to Best Actress. The nominees, Annette Bening for Naiad, Lily Gladstone for The Killers of the Flower Moon, Sandra Hüller from Anatomy of a Fall, Carrie Mulligan for Maestro, and Emma Stone for Poor Things. What do you think about this category?
Solid, you know. Well, you know, everybody knows I can think Annette Bening is fucking terrible in Naiad at this point.
We were scared she was going to win for a minute.
Oh God!
And the funniest thing about Annette Bening is I never. Like, there just aren't that many actors who are very good, but whose nominations...
suck shit.
Yeah, do not represent how good they are.
Oh, my God. You would think she was terrible, honestly.
Yeah, it's actually crazy how she is consistently nominated for, like, the worst performance she gets.
Of her career. Yeah. This is so bad. They showed, you know, to pull the curtain back, we are recording this shortly after... watching the SAGs together, and the clip they use of her in that, I'm like, look at her. She looks like a sunburnt blobfish. It's this, like, it's such a prosthetic heavy performance that just, like, doesn't feel like it's anything beyond that. I just, like, and the emotional arc didn't work for me or whatever. I don't know. I think it's a really weak performance, honestly. I hate that it's here. Like, for all of recorded history to be like, yes, one of her many nominations.
It is crazy. I'm happy she's not going to win.
Nope.
I hope, because she wants it so bad. Ooh, and I don't blame her.
Yeah.
It's, you know, it is kind of, her and Glenn, it's like.
The Oscars have been edging her for too long.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy.
I hate to say it.
At least this time, it's not like, you know, Hilary Swank or Natalie Portman stealing it from her. But, you know, it is just really crazy the way she, like, I think she nearly could have won for this in a different, if, like, Killers of the Flower Moon or Poor Things wasn't happening this year, we could have been talking about Annette Bening.
God.
You know, I do think it's going to be either Emma Stone or Lily Gladstone.
Yeah.
And, listen, they're both great. We love them.
I wouldn't begrudge either one. I think, you know, having watched Killers of the Flower Moon twice now, I think there's very little for her, Lily Gladstone, to work with. But she makes such an impact in that first act that you really miss her in the last act when she's just sort of sidelined. And I think that's a failing of the film, not of her performance. I mean, she's really good in what she gets. But, I mean, Emma Stone's performance is like the performance of a career. It is so thrilling. It's like one of the best performances I've ever seen. People I know who don't like movies keep telling me how much they love that film and how good she is in that. So, like, it's incredible. But, like, you know, she's won one not that long ago, and this is more of an indicator that she will win again someday.
Yeah, she's going to have a great career.
Yeah.
I do think just the technical skill of what she's doing in Poor Things...
is unmatched.
Yeah, it is the sort of thing where when we look back at her career...
it's, like, going to be one of the big ones in her, like, Oscar reel.
If it's if it's not in her top five, like, best performances of her career by the end,
then what
she has one of the most incredible careers of all time.
Literally, then she's fucking Katharine Hepburn.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
And she might be. But
she very well could be.
Yeah. She's so young. But
she's so young.
Yeah, but she's incredible in Poor Things. I liked her so I loved her so much. Gladstone winning would also be really great.
Yeah.
Just again, it's like,
and she's running a wonderful campaign.
Yeah, she's running a wonderful campaign. She looks beautiful at every single
pop,
basically. I gasped at her in the suit on the Vanity Fair variety cover this week, and we love her.
We love her.
Can't wait for the Charlie Kaufman film she's doing. In terms of other people that I would love to have seen, I mean, I already talked about Juliette Binoche eating the oyster. I won't dwell. But I will say, a bummer Margot Robbie didn't get in for Barbie.
Yeah, it sucks.
I think, like, you know...
Well, I think that, that performance is deceptively hard.
Yes. And it, I think it is she really, really complex work she's doing.
Yeah.
And she's funny. But, like, that movie relies on such a big emotional arc. Yeah. And I think in a lesser actor's hands, it would have totally fallen apart. Mm. And she really killed it. And it's a bummer she didn't get in. And then I also really, really love Natalie Portman. I think she's doing some career best work in May, December.
Oh, period.
Yeah. Like, there's the one scene of her watching, like, clips, I believe, of, like, the coverage for, like,
the scandal.
And the camera just stays at her. There's no dialogue. It's just her rewinding the clip and, like, visitors. And I'm like, shit. It is so compelling to just watch her work. And that is a testament to how good she is, I think. It's a shame that movie only got one nomination. And I will say, just because I forgot to mention it in Supporting Actress, you know, I tossed a little shade at Enemy of Fall before, but I do think Sandra Hüller is very good in the film. I gotta say, though, I think she's better in Zone of Interest.
Yeah.
She's so chilling in that movie.
I was just thinking that.
Yeah, like the scene of her trying on the coats is horrifying. And I think she's really... I'm happy she got nominated, period.
Yeah.
What a year she's had. But, like, you know, I Zone of Interest is the one that I think she should have gotten.
Yeah, I would agree with that, actually.
What? Who else do you want to highlight?
My only other one would be Anjanou Ellis-Taylor in Origin. Because I loved Origin. And, like, it's Anjanou Ellis-Taylor. Like, she's been... You want to talk about, like, a workman-like character actress who's been really good for many years and, like, was in a great movie that, like, and a very good, hard performance, realistically, that, like, really was released at the wrong time.
Oh, absolutely. They flopped with that one.
It was a huge mistake. But, like, yeah, like, in any other year, that'd be, like, it would be the moment for her. And so it's just, it's weird.
They dropped the ball with Neon really dropped the ball with that one.
Yeah, sorry to say.
Yeah, and, but she is really good. You know, I hope she gets another chance like this. Like, I know. You know, it's, because she's phenomenal in it.
Yeah. It sucks that it's just weird. I don't know what happened there because it truly, if it had been released 4 months ago, it'd be a whole different conversation.
Yeah, it the way Neon and A24 both run into the same categories a lot of like only really being able to have like so many balls in the in the game basically.
And their independence, I get it, but like that is such a like knockout home run performance.
Yeah, it's great. She's so good, and you know. It was her real follow-up to King Richard, and which she also, you know, is great.
Which she was also great in, and got a lot of attention for.
Yeah, I hope she gets another chance soon because she's so good. And looked stunning in Origin. It must be said, just some of the best looks.
The
of
way
the
I
year.
Almost put John Bernthal in supporting, even though I'm just like, no, it's just because he's hot. Although their meet cute scene is elite level.
Ava, direct a rom-com, please,
girl,
please direct a rom-com.
Yeah.
You used to follow Marissa on Twitter. You, like...
Oh, come on.
We lost the chance.
We'd still be friends if I didn't quit Twitter.
Yeah. She might have quit Twitter, too, at this point.
I hope she did. Yeah. She didn't need all that.
All right. That's the four acting categories. Mm-hmm. You know, any last thoughts before we sign off?
No, we'll probably be back with, like, friggin' director and picture after this, realistically.
Yeah. Maybe animated film if we can ever find.
Yeah, we might have to do director, picture, animated film.
Yeah.
Robot Dreams
is impossible to find anywhere. Yeah. But where can people find more of your work, Marissa?
I'm at Marissa Carpico on every platform, pretty much, except for Twitter. Possibly I'll have some reviews coming out on the site. Unlikely, given the Oscars are seconds away and it's primary season.
And you can find me at Letterboxd, Matt T. Thank you for listening, everybody.